Blog Talk Radio.
I was snoozing on the sofa when she came in from work. She started baby talking as she laid down her purse.
Has mama's boogie woogie, has her big sweetie pie.
I kind of smiled and I opened one eye.
Did mama's hunky lovey-dovey have a hard day?
I was just about to answer when I heard her say,
him so fat and lazy, but him sweet as can be.
That's when I knew she wasn't referring to me. Big ball of fur. He acts as if he doesn't care a thing about her. He doesn't work. He's never even caught a small mouse. But she treats him like the king of the house.
Hey, I'm a little overweight, and I treat her like I don't care. I even laid out of work,
and it got me nowhere. It's a mystery I simply can't understand. What she loves in that cat, she can't stand in a man.
Oh, I wish she'd talk to me like that. And didn't care where a scratch tossed at. And gave me praise for being lazy and fat.
But she only talks that way to her cat. Oh, yeah. She only talks that way to that big gentle cat.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks for listening in to another night of the Wise Women Media Radio Show. We have decided to veer away from all the talk about Syria and war tonight, since those topics are kind of oversaturated on the mainstream media and even the alternate news right now. And we wanted to bring you something special and something dear to my heart, definitely my cat, and to so many others that have cats as our loved ones, really indeed part of our families. The song you heard was The Cat Song by Ray Stevens, one of my favorites. When I went searching for songs about cats, I thought it was so cute. I wanted to make sure that you knew how to find us online. You can go to wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. All the information about this show is there, links and everything. We also have the list of our sponsors, Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, which gives us our hour and a half space every week. Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7 Tarot and Stars, the Hoodoo Blog, and the Common Projects Network, which is what our show falls under, with so many other interesting shows during the week on the Here Be Monsters channel on Blog Talk Radio. So listen in, check out the shows. There's always something that will fit your interest during their week-long schedule. Also on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com, if you like what you're hearing and you want to keep it going every week, then be sure to hit us up on the GoFundMe link. No amount is too small. Every little bit helps, so we keep the internet access on, the phone bill paid, and it also pays for research that we do each and every week to get the show to you. I do believe I have a caller on the line. I believe this is Dr. Mango. Let me click her in here. Hi, Dr. Mango, are you with me?
Yes, good evening. How are you doing?
Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Media show. We've never done anything like this about cats, but as I said before, I thought, you know, the internet news and the mainstream media news are so oversaturated with war. I thought this would be a perfect time to deviate away from that and talk about something that's dear to our hearts, because indeed at this point in time, we really have to hold our loved ones close. So if you'd like to introduce yourself to our listeners, tell us how you came to actually have cats as your profession, and about your education and how you got started in school, and why you don't feel a need to take care of the other animals in your practice, why cats are so important to you.
Okay. I love, like every vet out there, I love all kinds of animals. And when I was growing up, I had every intention of taking care of, you know, dogs, cats, ferrets, all the small animals. Then when I did go to vet school, I went to St. Kitts to Ross University, and we had, you know, a diverse, we took care of all the animals down there. And then my clinical year was spent at the University of Florida, where we actually saw cases. And during all the rotations, none of the students wanted to deal with the cats. I had never had a problem with the kitties in school, so I decided, well, let me take care of them. And I just couldn't believe how well everything clicked. And at that point, I knew when I graduated, I just wanted to deal with the cats. So after graduation, I moved back up north to Connecticut, and I practiced with kitties up there, and I love going to work every day. And the more I deal with them, the more you learn, the more they're just so complicated. And I think when you can specialize in them, you can pick up on a lot of the nuances that maybe some other people may not see.
And what did you find anything specifically challenging while you were going through your training? What was probably the most difficult thing for you to do, what you didn't want to do when you went into work?
During my education?
Yeah, during your training, specifically, you know, for veterinary training.
Actually, I think the hardest part was the farms, the bovine rotation in July in the Florida summers. That was my least favorite time.
Oh, my God.
You're covered all, it's 100 degrees, and you're out in the pastures. That I did not enjoy very much.
And now how many cats do you have now currently in your home?
I have 6 of them.
Oh, wow. But
two of which are disabled kitties. One is a paraplegic, and the other little guy was actually born with some birth defects with his hips and his legs. So he has trouble standing and walking, but he scoots around pretty quick, and he can also hold his own. He plays with the toys, chases the other cats around. So they have a great quality of life. You know, some people might look at them and wonder why, but animals don't feel sorry for themselves. They just go about and do what they think they're supposed to do.
Can you give us a little description of the two cats that you're trying to find homes for now? Kit Kat.
Oh, those guys
and...
are wonderful. There were two stray cats where I live. A lot of the neighbors, we've been feeding them. You know, they're friendly little guys. And there was some cat trapping going on around here, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. So, a couple of my associates and myself, we got together. We brought them into the clinic. One is a little girl, a little tortie girl. She's about 4 years old. Very friendly, very sweet. tortoiseshells and calicos sometimes are a little feistier than other kitties, but she has a wonderful temperament. And then her little friend, he's a little black male with gorgeous green eyes, and he's about 3 years old. When we did test him for, we test for leukemia and feline immunodeficiency disease. He did come up with the FIV. And, you know, years ago, you hear leukemia, FIV, you know, certainly it's a death sentence. But we've learned so much in the past couple of, past several years, that kitties with FIV, that their immune system's a little compromised. And they can
right.
live a long, wonderful, healthy life. You know, if they get a cold, bring them to the vet, make sure we get them on medication. So often, they don't die of the actual disease. You know, it tends to be of other, you know, more common cat ailments when they get older. So,
this disease, the FIV, has so many parallels to the human HIV or AIDS. Very, very similar. It's an autoimmune disease. Am I correct?
Yeah, it compromises the immune system. It's a virus.
Okay, and so those two cats actually. If everybody out there listening goes to All About Amore Cat Hospital on Facebook, you'll be able to see pictures of Squeakers and Kit Kat, both of those cats, with full descriptions, and they really desperately need homes. Keep in mind that the black one, what's the black one's name?
Kit Kat.
That's Kit Kat. Okay, Kit
yes.
Kat is FIV positive, so that means he could thrive in a home with other FIV positive cats. So take a look over there if you're listening, and if you care to open your heart and open your home, these two kitties desperately need homes as soon as possible. Tell us about Bagheera, because that's a story in itself. That's your the cat that's always in the office that will greet everybody as they walk in to All About Amore Cat Hospital. So tell us how Bagheera came to be your companion.
Oh, he is the most special cat out there. Goodness, at this point, it's been actually about 5 years ago, I had lost one of my little girl cats who had actually a severe brain malformation. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get another special needs right now. You know, it's too much. And I was looking online. I probably shouldn't have been. And I came across him, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you know, this is a cat. So I took a trip down to New Jersey. It was about 4 hours from where I lived. And he was at a cat sanctuary called Tabby's Place. It is one of the best places I have ever seen for kitties. If you don't get adopted, you can live there the rest of your life. So I went down, I met him, he was in the lobby, and one of the volunteers, you know, we visited. I was actually there all afternoon, did a few formalities, did some paperwork, and home he came with me. And ever
wow.
since then, he's come to work every day. We go everywhere together. He's a great, great little companion.
And this is why I truly believe that the cats, it's not us selecting the cats or the dogs or whatever companion animals we happen to have. It's more like they choose us. I'm really a firm believer in that. They select us. The vibes have to be just right. And there's a click that goes on, and you just know when you take that animal home that it's the right thing to do. So, So tell us exactly how Bagheera is thriving and what his special needs specifically are.
He was hit by a car, so he has a fracture of his spine and the spinal cord, right in the lower back. So mm-hmm. his back legs don't work at all. And it's at a point where his bladder doesn't leak. It's the opposite. It's hypertonic. So I need to give him medication to help relax it. That allows me to squeeze his belly, squeeze his bladder, and express him because he can't pee on his own.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually pretty good with bowel movements. He has some feeling and some function there.
So you have to express not only his back end but his front end, but that's done with medication, the front end. Am I correct?
Right, right. The medication definitely helps to relax everything because it's so tight.
Oh, poor thing. And so how old would you say that Bagheera is now?
He is 16. They had his actual birth date when they took him in at Tabby's place. So he was 16 in April.
So tell us about Tabby's place. It's in New Jersey, and they just take differently abled cats, or also are they a rescue?
It's technically a sanctuary where mostly special needs cats that are on death row are the first that will go there. There's an unbelievable waiting list. They do have several FIV cats. They have an FIV suite there. And again, there's a waiting list to get in. So if you, a lot of rescues, if they have extra cats, they most likely won't be able to go there. So it's
mm-hmm.
mostly different special needs, things along those lines are what they specialize in.
Right,
they have
right.
a vet on staff.
So with Tabby's place, do you keep in touch with them? And I can see that you definitely promote what they're doing, but tell us about the other organization that you're involved with as well.
Yeah, with Tabby's Place, yes, we do stay in touch, and Bagheera sends them pictures and postcards of what he's up to, so they're really happy with finding a kitty like this, a home where he's loved and he has a good life.
Right,
the other
right.
organization is on Paws for Friendship, and it's all volunteers. People bring their own pets to nursing homes, schools, assisted living, anything along those lines where your pets can interact with the residents and the kids. We have mostly dogs. There's several cats, and we have a few other types of critters, some bunnies, prairie dogs, a turtle.
Oh, cool.
So, yes, yes.
That's
and we
very
all know
cool.
that kids love animals. It helps them with their reading. A lot of older people, if they go to a nursing home, they can't take their pets with them. So at least
yeah.
they can interact with ours.
Have you ever heard about the hospice cat? There was a news story about a hospice cat that was in a hospice, a human hospice, and would actually sleep with whoever was going to pass over next. And it was very odd, but every time the cat slept with one of the patients there, that patient was the next one to pass over. And it was almost like she was providing the patient, you know, the last little bit of comfort in the facility there. So that was quite interesting. What do you think about the connection? There's always such an old wives' tale, but there's also, who have been around cats for a while know that there's a connection to the other side. Do you believe that too?
With cats, yes, definitely. They are so in tune with everything. And a lot of people, we just don't give them credit for how sensitive and how in tune they are to everything around them. But yeah, I definitely believe that they know.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I've noticed a few things with my own cat. I know that when my partner and I have raised voices, either the dogs will drop a ball between us or the cat will actually go to my partner's leg and bite him on the ankle.
Wow.
It's kind of funny, like she's saying, okay, enough of this business.
He's like, enough of this.
And all we could do when those things happen is laugh, because the animals are really teaching us how to, you know, they're living in peace. Why can't we, you know, kind of attitude, kind of cute. Tell me a little bit about your bio said you had completed the ECFVG and PAVE equivalency examinations. What exactly are those specifically?
Because I went to Ross University, it's outside of the U.S., so I am considered a foreign graduate. So anyone
right.
coming into the U.S. to practice veterinary medicine, after we take the regular national exams like a U.S. student, we also have to go through a second set of practical and written exams also, just to make sure that the education is equivalent and we're practicing at the same level. So it's
gotcha. Okay.
The week-long practical test, yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a long time, too. Whew.
Yeah.
And you're accredited through the Department of Agriculture. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that if you had to, you could actually go and work on other animals, specifically farm animals? Or what does that mean exactly?
The main thing is that you are authorized to do health certificates for cats and dogs that are traveling.
Okay.
And there
okay.
are two levels, so just small animals, and then there's also large animals. So you can do
right,
either
right.
one or both sections. But yes, if there was some type of an outbreak with large animals, anything along those lines, accredited vets would be the ones they would call first.
Right. Tell us a little bit about how All About Amore Cat Hospital began. I'm sure you had been working with other vets up to that point, but how did the practice that you have actually get put together?
After working with cats for a while, I knew I definitely wanted my own place. So when I moved down here, you know, started looking at the different areas and finding out where would be a great place where, you know, everyone could see us. Centrally located, so the kitties wouldn't have to travel too far either. So
mm-hmm.
the past probably about year and a half, just been working on the behind-the-scenes type things, getting things in order, you know, deciding how I wanted to go about it. And then finally, July 1st, we opened our doors for the kitties. They've been open just about 2 months, and it's been absolutely wonderful.
Now, for those of you that are wondering where Dr. Mango's practice is, I'm going to give you the address quickly and the website. And then we have some people with questions that are actually listing their questions in the chat, which is what I was hoping was going to happen. So this is really great. The address of All About Amore Cat Hospital is 6178 Gunn Highway. That's Gunn Highway with two N's, Gunn, G-U-N-N. Tampa, Florida, 33625. If you want to see the website, it's at www.allaboutamorecathospital.com. You can go to wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And in the post for tonight's show, everything is linked there. So you'll see the address, the phone number, the website, and even a link to the Facebook page. So let's get to the questions, and for anybody that wants to call in, keep in mind you can call in. The number is 213-816-0357. I do have a question in the chat, and then I have one phone in so far. The first question is, I have a cat with diabetes. He now receives insulin injections twice a day. That's not really a question. Is that something that, but I have a question about that. Is that something that can be reversed?
It depends. And I know that's a answer you always get from a doctor. Cats can get diabetes if they've been on steroids. Usually, or I say sometimes in that case, after we treat them with insulin, I've seen cases where it can be reversed. If a cat has developed it, I haven't seen that happen. But with cats, I don't discount anything. I think anything can happen with them. So I think it's always a possibility. With just strict, you know, good care, watching their diet, watching their sugar levels.
Now, this person, Skating Angel, said he wasn't on steroids. He was fat and loved to eat. Oh, well, but, you know, even with human diabetes, a lot of it has to do with diet. That's, like, one of the most important things, diet and exercise. So, you go. But yeah, there's hope, and she says he still loves to eat. So, I do have a caller from 352 area code, so let me click that caller in. And
that would be me.
Oh, 352 area code. Is this Flash?
It sure is.
Hi, Flash. Flash, I wanted to introduce you to Dr. Mango. Flash is an animal communicator and animal healer that lives up in Gainesville. And
did you
have a question for Dr. Mango?
Do you also do alternative type, you know, holistic type care as well as traditional AMA?
When I can, yes. And if it's something that I'm not able to do, I can refer. I do know a doctor does acupuncture, so if it looks like that's indicated for the kitty, I can definitely refer them. When I was in Connecticut, we did a bit more with Chinese herbs, things along those lines. I haven't had much opportunity down here, but I think a combination of Eastern and Western medicine is one of the better choices.
Wow. Okay. And there is an acupuncture doctor right in Tampa for animals?
Actually, there's several, yes.
Wow, I wasn't even aware of that. I had heard about some dogs. A friend of mine had some dogs that had some acupuncture done. I think they had some skin conditions or something, and none of the oral medicines or topicals tended to work, but the acupuncture worked fine. So that's interesting to know that there's, you know, that there's a call for that in our local area. And what about herbology or tinctures or anything like that? Does that sometimes help?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
Or I think you need a lot more. I have some training. I learned some from a previous veterinarian. But it takes a long time, you know, to figure out what is the best combination, lots of research. Because with anything, you know, if you're not sure, you still can do damage.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, for some reason, it's breaking up a little for me.
Yeah, I know. We're having some interference.
Okay.
I think it's because of the storms. Yeah, because we've had some really big storms down here. But I'm hearing her okay, but it's not as clear as it normally is. So, but I have a question about just nonspecific skin conditions and itching. Is the best thing to use for cats or dogs like an oatmeal type of soap, just like humans would use?
I always recommend oatmeal and aloe first because it's soothing. So, yes. Yes, unless we can figure out what exactly the skin condition is, just for some irritation and a soothing bath, I think that's one of the better choices.
Yeah, and then, of course, finding out, you know, sometimes, of course, that can end up being a food allergy of some sort. And then, you know, nothing's going to help that until you take the food out of the out of the system. So if anybody else would like to call in, the number is 213-816-0357, or you can post your specific questions right in the chat room, in the chat box, and I will read them. Skating Angel also says, no more dry food, only wet canned food.
Absolutely.
Fewer carbs, canned food. Huh. And what would you say about that, Dr. Mango, as far as carbs? Is she right?
So many of the dry foods are loaded with carbs. I always tell people to look at the ingredients. Your cat does not like corn and soy and all that stuff. They're carnivores. So many of the dry foods have all those ingredients. There are some that are much better, but a canned diet is the closest to what they used to eat.
Hmm. And I always
broke up when you were saying that. Did you say a canned diet is what they should eat, right?
It's the closest to what they what they used to eat, you know, when they were out in the wild.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I tell everybody that, especially with the boys, because, you know, the kidneys are the low point in the cat system. Mm-hmm. And the more they have to drink, which they have to drink more with the dry, the more it compromises the kidney bladder system. And, you know, I mean, they were not made to drink a lot. They grew up, their lineage is from the desert.
Right.
And so, you know, their body is just like that. And, you know, I'll give mine a little bit of very good kibble every once in a while for their teeth.
Mm.
But because I had a cat that I used just the canned good food, and she started to have a little teeth problem. So
I
learned that just a little bit of the dry just for the teeth was a good addition for the ones who could handle it.
Mm-hmm. And actually, dental care with the cats. And again, that's something years ago, we didn't do anything with that. But there's a lot of products out there that you can do at home. Kitty toothpaste, it doesn't have fluoride, it's flavored like tuna or, you know, chicken. And brushing your cat's teeth will also help just get some of that plaque off. And, you know, when they're starting to get a little older, get their teeth cleaned. You know, get them cleaned before they're, you know, 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll cut down a lot on the bacteria, a lot of, you know, issues inside.
So, Dr. Mango, tell us about some of the special care that's required for the elder cats, since we're kind of gravitating towards that's a nice segue. What specifically would elder cats require more so than younger cats?
Senior cats are considered about seven or 8 years of age. So at that point, it's best if we see them twice a year. So many people
mm-hmm.
have gotten away from bringing the kitty out because it's stressful for everybody. Cats are so good at hiding things
mm-hmm.
that a lot of times you may not notice anything's wrong until it's, you know, it's progressed. So if they come see us, sometimes we may be able to feel something, see something subtly with them. And then also with older kitties, blood work is so highly recommended. If we find something early on, we may not be able to cure, but we can manage it and give them a good quality and make sure that they're comfortable. We've come a long way if we're able to know what the problem is.
Okay. So you think definitely that they should be seen twice a year, that people should not just disregard these regular checkups. They need to be seen. That way, any problems that they may be having or may be coming up with will be caught in the early stages, which that makes sense because that's what we have to do as humans too. So a checkup every 2 years or so. Now, I have some questions in the chat room, so let me see if I can. They kind of piled up at me at one time. Oh, This question is from Josh. He says, one of my cats has thrown up with every type of canned food I've tried. I've been giving him a grain-free dry food, but he still gets sick, though not as much as with the wet food. Do you have any suggestions for something like that?
With a kitty, everybody, some people think vomiting is normal, and it's not. If a cat has a lot of vomiting, I actually would recommend, you know, some blood work on them first. We want to rule out some common ailments that can cause that. It can be it can be so many different things, but usually some blood work and even possibly X-rays. With vomiting and maybe no other signs or symptoms, it may be difficult to find out, but we can eventually.
Right. And I think most of us can tell the difference also between vomiting and, like, just a regular hairball or something like that, you know. Because my cat does a hairball, like, every couple days, and it's pretty gross.
Yes, some we see more hairballs than others, as you know.
Yeah, and I know it's definitely not vomiting because she's really never been sick. My friend Joanne says, I have a 17-year-old cat. Lost her litter mate brother. Hang on, the thing moved on me. Hang on just a second. The chat room moved. Lost her litter mate brother 3 years ago to kidney disease, who has always been a picky eater. She ate much less after her brother died, but picked up 2 years ago after we adopted a Maine Coon kitty. So she said, she still isn't eating much, but loves freeze-dried chicken. But the problem is that she doesn't drink enough and gets constipated, and she throws up a lot. So there you go. Is there a way to make...
May I add something in there?
I would recommend blood work first.
Older
cat, things like that, it can be several... There could be something going on with a kitty. And we may be able to do something with her diet, maybe give her a little medication and get her comfortable, you know, help her appetite, things like that. And especially if her brother had kidney issues, we'd want to take a close look, especially since they're little mates.
Yeah. We've got another caller, but Joanne hasn't finished her question, so let me... She's explaining a little bit more here. She says, my cats never went to the vet after being spayed or neutered. My boy Handsome went when his teeth began falling out, fracturing, and his blood work was perfect. A year later, he was in complete kidney failure. So that sounds like there was something going on there that just wasn't caught. I don't know. What do you all think?
It can happen, you know, fairly quickly.
I've seen some problems with fish in the diet, with kelp or something. Yeah, mainly kelp causing a problem with the thyroid. And that's starting to lean into kidney trouble. A cat I have now who is 20, had that problem when she was 11. And they had told me, even the holistic vet told me at one point, say goodbye. And I was doing the sub-Q fluids with her and giving her homeopathy and all kinds of things. And one day I was going in for her sub-Q, and I said, maybe we should look at her numbers again. I think she might be getting better. I didn't expect her to get better, but, you know, I was giving it everything I had. And to everybody's shock, she was perfect. Her numbers became perfect. I removed anything with kelp from her diet because I really got the feeling that that was the beginning of the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, treating it as you need to for kidney failure did the rest of it.
Now, she says she fed them tuna twice a week, and then now with the cat that she has left, she she feeds her tuna once a week. I don't know. I wouldn't do the fish at all for any cat at this point
That's
in time
right.
because the fish
especially
is contaminated.
Tuna.
Yeah, well, especially when anything coming from the Gulf or the Pacific or anything right now is contaminated.
Yeah, tuna is always known to be bad.
Yeah.
What
do you think about that, Dr. Mango? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the Fukushima situation, and I'm looking at the Gulf oil spill situation, and the canned, you know, cat food that has the fish and stuff in it, shrimp, anything like that is, you know, really, I would say, damaging to animals, any animal, dogs, cats, whatever is eating any kind of animal food with seafood in it.
Including
yeah.
us. I mean, we all know that, you know, the further up you go on the fish food chain, the more contaminants, mercury, lead, everything is in them. So the kitties are so little, we can tolerate it more, but they can't tolerate some of those, you know, the doses that are in there. And we don't know what all those disasters have done. You know, so the kitty's eating it, and we have no idea what type of damage it's going to do in the cat. So
right, or for the long term.
I know they love it, right, but it's probably safer to stay away from that stuff.
Do you ever recommend a diet of just regular human food, like chopped up vegetables and chicken breast, or, you know, I personally, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if you're a vegetarian or whether you eat meat, but I know people who have actually stopped buying the animal food and they're using just a
well,
little
just
portion
for a
they eat and giving that to their animals. What's your take on that for diet?
Cats are carnivores, period. If you give them a vegetarian diet, they will have so many medical conditions. They must have meat. I mean, if you throw them a green bean now and then, I have heard of cats that'll eat different fruit, things here and there, but that can't be their main diet. They must have meat. And it needs to be something that's formulated for kitties. If you just went into the meat counter, got some chicken or whatever, there's some things that the cats can't make that they need to get from their food. So
yeah.
There's some people that like to make their food, make the diet for the kitties. They do have to follow a strict recipe to make sure the cat gets everything that it does need.
So you would say how much percentage of meat should you, I mean, would you say like 90% of their diet must be meat? Is that like
yes,
a close percentage, and maybe some small amount of vegetable in there or something just to hold it together.
Right. I mean, you look at some of the canned cat foods, and you're going to find some potatoes and some peas and things like that in there. A lot of it's probably for us for how it looks because we're the ones buying
right.
it. But as long as the majority is meat, there that's what they need.
Right, right. Now, my friend Ilona, she says, we have a household of 2 humans and 3 cats, all who coexist well. One of the cats never hisses, even at the vet. He is so agreeable. Have you ever heard of a cat that does not hiss? Or do you think that is more personality, or are they incapable of hissing? That's a good question. Hello?
Hello,
hi,
I think
it was cut off
for a second.
Yeah.
Oh, you there? Okay, I can hear you now.
Did
everybody hear the question?
No, it was just cut. I heard about the cat that was perfect, you know.
Okay, let me start over then. My friend Ilona says, we have a household of 2 humans and 3 cats, all of who coexist well. You guys heard all that so far?
Yes.
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 Okay. One of the cats never hisses, even at the vet. He's so agreeable. Have you ever heard of a cat that does not hiss? And do you think that is more personality, or are these cats incapable of hissing for whatever reason?
I'm actually trying to think of There are some cats I've never seen hits.
I just think that's weird because, like, every cat that I've ever taken to a vet always hisses and gets mad, you know? And Joanne says the same thing. Neither of my cats at the vet. I've had them since they were babies and kept them together. They did not hiss at my dad, who is not a cat person. So I guess this would probably be more like personality. They're just agreeable or good-natured.
Yeah.
Yes. Good questions. Now I'm gonna tell you all something, and I hope this doesn't incriminate me or anybody I hang out with. But I know of a cat that absolutely loves pot. she's addicted to it. She has to have it all the time, and she's an elder cat, so I'm thinking that it probably helps if she's got some kind of rheumatoid arthritis. It's harder for her to get around. Probably, you know, the pot helps her a little bit be able to thrive or have less pain. What's your take on that, Dr. Mango? Should we should continued? Is this something that... if it ain't broke, don't fix it, in other words?
Yeah.
Technically, we're told that all of that is toxic to animals, and they should not be around it. Probably more studies. I mean, the more studies they do with people, the more we find that there are so many medical benefits.
Right.
I haven't read anything, so, I mean... I gather that maybe she is getting some relief like people do, but technically we shouldn't advocate it till we know for sure. We don't want to do any harm that we're not aware of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this particular cat is meow, 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 meow until she gets it. She's like an addict. She must have it. Yeah,
like
it's
meow,
hilarious.
I like that stuff.
Yeah, she that's exactly it. And she is adamant about getting it every day. She must have it.
That's
so
sure.
I'm thinking whatever. And she, you know, at this point, you know, she's an elder cat, so she's sleeping a lot. So that probably helps her. So
the glucosamine probably won't help her much if she's feeling better with that.
Exactly. And, my friend Alona says the cat that doesn't hiss, when the others are hissing, he looks at them and says, like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you know, like, why are you making that noise?
Such rowdy behavior.
That's pretty. And
very
Joanne.
Very well-adjusted cat.
Yeah, I would say. And Joanne says that her cat loves catnip. Maybe that's the next step. I don't know. Because this particular cat never really responded well to catnip. It definitely responds to, you know, pot. So.
Well, it's interesting because I've got catnip growing outside. And when it buds, shocking to me, the smell of the flower itself is not so different from pot.
Interesting.
I mean,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I was very
surprised. I wonder
surprised.
If they are, if they're related herbs somehow.
They
related
can't be,
herbally.
One
I don't
is in
know.
The mint family. Cannabis is in the mint family, and
right.
cannabis is something else.
That's interesting. And then Joanne says there have been animal studies that show that cats will seek out intoxicants like fermented corn, et cetera, et cetera. So
they
so,
also love valerian. If you ever have valerian in the house,
induces sleep.
Yeah,
because that's
it's
where
a
valium
sedative.
Came
from. I mean, that's that's the natural herb where valium is extracted from.
Interesting. As we're and we're on herbs, so. Another thing I wanted to ask Dr. Mango is, have you ever experimented at all or worked with any specific tinctures made out of herbs for cats, like in regards to holistic healing?
Oh, I'd like to share with you a bit about the flower essences with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Because they are incredible. When I treat animals, I use them probably above almost anything. They're very gentle but very powerful. And it's not like herbs. It's the essence of the flower. It's not like the oils. And cats are not good with the oils. But they do very, very well. And I mean cats, kitty cats, and lions, and tigers, and bears, too. I treat all of them with the flower essences predominantly, and also the gem elixirs that I make myself, and primates as well. But, you know, some of my cats love it, and I make everybody their own special mix of different ones depending on what's needed. One of the ones, and I use exclusively the stuff from Green Hope Farms because they have a whole line of animal products, and they're just great people. They're very, very evolved, and they really care about what they make. And I find that all the animals that I use this with, they really thrive. And if I was to bring a new cat in the household, and this is, I think this is true for like any of the animals, but you always want to get the okay from everybody. You don't want to just bring a new being in and say, deal with it. You want to take care of them emotionally so that they feel like this could be a plus. Not that this is immediately someone they have to defend against, which is certainly can be the tendency. And they do have a product, the Green Hope people. It's not in any of their catalogs, but it's called Saint Francis water. And it's basically something anybody you're bringing in new. And that would be people, too, if you're bringing a new person. But for the animals, particularly the cats, you can give it to them right in the mouth or put it right in the water. If they're difficult, and cats can be, about taking things in their mouth, you can put it on their paws because they will lick it. Or you can put it behind their ears. And that's
and,
one
and
way.
And Dr. Mango, have you done any work with this type of...
A little bit. You guys had cut out for a second, but just to touch on
yes,
the oils.
Yes,
a lot of oils are toxic to cats, like you were saying, but the flower essences, I've used more like the Bach flowers. That's what I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had good luck with them.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, if you put a cat in a household with more cats, everybody's anxious. And you don't want to end up with spraying and marketing. You just want everyone to live in harmony. So I think they make a big difference as opposed to going right for pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I wanted to let people know that there is an open house coming up. The grand opening of the All About Amore Cat Hospital in Tampa will be on Saturday on October 26th from 12 to 3 p.m. There's going to be a cat costume for Halloween theme, since it'll be Halloween. Raffles, prizes, goodie bags, cat adoptions, with a few rescues bringing kitties to be adopted. Food and refreshments. So Lisa wanted to make sure that I told you all that. Are there any other specific dates that are coming up, Dr. Mango?
We are doing a community event. It's the 28th of September. The Plantation community event is off of Gun Highway. The Home Association invites a lot of the local small businesses have tables, and they have their community out to come visit us. There's refreshments, I believe, games for the kids, and that is from 2 to 6 that Saturday. So I invite everybody to come out and check out some of the small businesses in the area.
Oh, that'll be great. And that's a Saturday, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the 28th. And so we've kind of covered everything that We didn't talk about flea and heartworm. Tell us a little bit about flea and heartworm care here in Florida. Oh, my God. This is like the biggest challenge is to keep our animals almost flea-free. I don't think we ever can do it completely. And what are some of the products that we can use that are safe for our animals? And then I have a cure that I want to share about how to keep your house flea-free. So that doesn't cost hardly any money, but I'll go ahead and give this to the doctor. What safe things can we be using for our cats?
For kitties, a misconception is that indoor cats don't have fleas. And if we say you have fleas, we always want people not to take offense because there's such an association with dirt and fleas. In Florida, it's just inevitable because of the climate. Indoor kitties can get fleas. Heartworm disease is another issue that people don't talk about with cats. A third of indoor cats are positive for heartworm disease. And we don't have a treatment for them like we do with dogs. So prevention is the best thing for the cats. For them, a topical flea and heartworm combination, Revolution, I think, is one of the best products for the kitties. For a combination of that, some cats have problems with the topicals. They might lose their fur, have a reaction. There also is a heart guard pill or tablet for heartworm. So at least they're covered that way, and then we can take care of their fleas with another type of oral product. So there are different options, and kitties should be on something year-round, just like the dog. And if there's a dog in the house, your cat will have fleas if it's not protected. You may not see them because cats groom impeccably. You may never see them, but they're there.
How does a cat get heartworms?
Mosquitoes. The mosquito carries it, and I know I have mosquitoes in my house. I've been bitten. You open the door for a second, they swarm. Mm-hmm. They come in. A little hole in the screen, anything like that, they get in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So if they bite your cat and they're infected, the cat will get heartworm.
So the main thing is to keep our cats healthy, especially here in Florida. This is imperative because the bugs are everywhere, fleas, mosquitoes, everything. And
everything.
And it's just, that's one of the reasons I really don't like Florida, especially in the summertime. My friend Alana makes a statement here. She says, my experiences with cats have shown that if you have one cat, you should have at least one more. I assume it just gets them used to having another member of the species around them, and they relate and learn to appreciate the company. I agree with that, except when you have a calico cat, because calico cats don't like any other cat. I know my cat doesn't. She hates every other cat, she literally will hiss and spit when they're near her. Lisa says Revolution is the best product. And then Ilona again says, I think it makes them more tolerant of any other newbie. She's talking about cats and quantities of cats in your home. Joanne states, we live in a new community without stray cats, so we don't have the flea problem yet. Our cats are indoor cats, except for the pool cage where they get their fill of lizards.
Everybody owns stray cats also, and that's not always the case. Opossums, all sorts of wildlife, you know, there's so many different types of fleas. Not just one type, so they're all over the place, and they love the dirt. So just because you don't see stray cats doesn't mean there aren't fleas in the environment.
And if your cat eats lizards, just don't let them eat lizards, because
right.
I saw a cat die from eating a lizard that he happened to be, I don't know, it was the vet had said they were poisonous lizards that this particular cat had gotten a hold of, and he died right in front of my eyes. So It wasn't my cat, thank goodness. But it's not safe to let them eat lizards, chew on lizards, or anything like that. This chat room keeps moving, so I'm having a problem keeping up with some of the stuff that's ending up in the chat room here.
That you can't tell which ones are toxic and which ones aren't.
Right, exactly. Ilona says, we'll be moving to a new home where they have two dogs. Would it be a good idea to flea bomb the residents before moving in? I'm going to answer this question, and this is something that Dr. Mango may not even know. I would never, ever, ever use a flea bomb in your house because you're not only poisoning your home,
mm-hmm.
you're poisoning the air and the surroundings that your animals are in or your children are in or other people are in. There is a good way, an easy way to fumigate your home by not fumigating it. I have found, I don't know if you've heard of this, Dr. Mango, but what I do is I take iodized salt, especially if the home is carpeted. I make sure the carpet is layered with, a thin layer of the iodized salt, and I let that sit for 2 or 3 days. I vacuum it up, and then I repeat the process.
I'm sorry, how long was that?
About 2 or 3 days, and I repeat the process. What happens is the fleas are constantly hatching, and you are putting down salt, iodized salt it has to be, that they're eating, and it kills them. So every time there's a new hatching, more and more of this salt actually goes down into the carpet pad, and it keeps going down into the carpet pad. So if you're using these medications to alleviate fleas on your animals and you're using the iodized salt on your carpet, you must be taking the bag out as well, the bag out of your vacuum changed, mm-hmm. or the chamber, if you have one of those chamber vacuums, has to be emptied out and washed out and then put back on the vacuum before you bring it back in the house. And then constantly layering iodized salt and vacuuming it up after 2 or 3 days. You will not have any fleas in your house eventually.
And it takes a while to break the cycle. So you have to continue, like you're saying, doing all those things over and over just to break that cycle, or they'll come back.
Yeah, as long as you're doing it over and over again, and every time you're vacuuming, if you vacuum every 2 or 3 days, that's usually good enough to keep abreast of the whole situation. But if you're only vacuuming like once every week and a half or something, you're going to have an outbreak. So you need to be pretty consistent and regular with the vacuuming, and you need to be using the iodized salt at least, I would say, once a week or twice a week, and eventually you will not have fleas. Your animals might not have fleas. Your animals might have fleas, but your carpet won't. Please do not use those toxic bombs in your home. You will be poisoning yourself and your animals, and especially your children. If your children are playing on the carpet or anything like that, it's just extremely, extremely dangerous. So do you think my analysis is correct, Dr. Mango, or what? Was I right on?
There are so many things that are toxic, and people aren't aware. They go by commercials and stuff like that, and there are so many over-the-counter flea products that don't kill the fleas, and they're toxic to their pets. You can go in any Walmart or Target and pick up anything over-the-counter, and it looks like it's going to work, and we've had kitties come in that are poisoned. Because cats
are so
sensitive to everything. If you put a dog product on the cat, that the cat can die. Before you apply anything, and make sure it's veterinary recommended, just so you don't hurt them.
Yeah. Joanne states an answer pretty much to Ilona's statement. She says, if you look at studies of cats and cat society, the girls hang together and help each other raise babies, and the boys hang in the periphery. Yeah, because they're the hunters. And then Lisa says humans can bring them in from the outside on them. And then Josh mentions that cats should never be eating skinks in particular.
Right.
So I guess skinks are what's poisonous to cats. But, you know, when you're outside and you got your cats outside, you can't tell the difference what these bloody things are. They all look like lizards to me. So Josh says there's better alternatives than flea bombs. Flea bombs are bad stuff. And Joanne states borax is a good thing. And then diatomaceous
earth.
Did I say that right?
Diatomaceous.
Diatomaceous
earth.
Used too. And you can get that.
I haven't tried that, but I've been told that it works very well.
That's what I've been told too. And
yeah,
for anybody that know what that is or where to get it, you can get that in any local feed store. You can put it inside, and you can also put it outside in your garden as well.
But you need to get the food grade.
Food grade,
yes.
Exactly. Oh, Josh just sent a link. Skinks are pretty easy to identify. So it's Wikimedia Commons is what he sent. And the skinks in particular have stripes down their back from the picture. So you can look up a five-lined skink, which is the picture he sent. And it looks definitely different than the regular green anoles that we see outside in our gardens. And the skink, this particular skink, will have lines up and down its back.
Some
of them have like electric blue tails too.
Yeah, I'm seeing that in the picture. Yeah, that's really cool. It looks really cool, but very poisonous to cats. So font of information with our listeners here. Again, we're still taking questions. We've got we're going down to the last. We're in the last 20 minutes of the show. So if anybody wants to call in, the number's 213-816-0357. Michelle states, "I use food grade." How do you say that again?
Diatomaceous earth
in my garden. It is often put in farm animal feed to help control parasites. So, interesting. But yeah, any feed store will have that, and I don't think it's very expensive either. And of course, the iodine salt.
You have to make sure that you don't inhale the dust, and your animals don't either. You need to get it in kind of gently, because if that pops up off of it, it'll be really damaging to everybody, to the lungs.
When you apply it, should you be wearing a mask or?
No, you don't have to. You just be careful that you don't let the powder burp up as you're using it. Be delicate with how you move it.
I'm wondering if you could use a spreader, like the stuff that you use outside when you're spreading stuff on the grass. If you could just use a spreader, very low on your carpet, that might work.
Yeah,
too.
I've done it.
Yeah, and then use
the
salt. You
have to kind of push it in with the broom.
Yeah, and between those two things, you should not have fleas. But there's no reason why anybody should use those harmful, toxic chemicals. We should be trying to eliminate all those chemicals from our households and from our gardens as soon as we can. Get, little by little, detoxifying our homes, because by doing that, we're detoxifying ourselves and our animals and our kids. And another thing that I wanted to bring up was, and I know we were talking in the pre-interview, whether we were going to even talk about this topic at all. So we'll bring this up. Dr. Mango, I think you know what this is. We had a little conversation about declawing and what your thoughts on declawing of cats. And so many of us don't think that that's even ethical.
So and it's something that should be openly discussed, because there are so many misconceptions and people are unaware of a lot of things when it comes to decline. For so many years, you know, your grandmother, your mother, everyone in the family, you just got your cat, you spayed it, and you declawed it. No one educated anyone on what was actually done or what it meant. Decline is actually 10 amputations. You're disarticulating the joint and removing that last bone. It's not just removing a claw. So, yes, we have wonderful medication for pain control, but it's a painful procedure. And it's not cats scratch naturally. That's what they're meant to do. They scratch, they leave their scent. It's just their behavior. There are alternatives. There's nail caps. Some people don't want to have to go through that, but you can glue them on. They stay for a while. Teach your cat to use the scratching post, scratch boxes. Make sure their environment has everything that they need.
Right. So I believe we have Lisa on the line, or no, I've got Josh on the line, actually, from 352 area code. Josh, have you got a question for the doctor?
Yeah, I do. I have a Siamese cat that has decided that my chair and my stereo speakers and a couple other things are his scratching posts. He has a regular scratching post, but he still goes and uses everything he can find. And I was wondering if there's something I can do. I've tried things like putting double-sided tape on where he scratches. I've tried putting bitter apple where he scratches so he'll get the taste of it on his paws. Or when he grooms himself, he'll get the taste of it. And I'm wondering if there's something else I can do. And I was also wondering about those little caps you can glue onto their claws, if they really work or not.
Okay. I lost a little bit of the middle of the conversation, but the kitty is scratching on everything else but the scratching post.
Well, he uses a scratching post, too. He just still goes and uses everything else.
Okay. The first thing we try to do is make those other places unattractive to the cat. Double-sided sticky tape, sometimes that'll work. Actually, a product feel away is a pheromone. That does help resolve several behavioral issues with kitties. Not all of them will respond, but some do. It's sprayed on the areas where they're scratching, urinating.
What was it called?
Yeah, what was the product, Dr. Mango, that it has the pheromone in it? I didn't hear that clearly.
Feel away, F-E-L-I-W-A-Y.
Okay. And you can get that at any pet store?
Actually, it is a veterinary product. It's over the counter, but the distributors sell it to the veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I could ask my vet.
Yeah, and it works, right? I mean, it works well?
Because not every cat will respond, but I have had really good luck with it with a lot of cats. You can use a diffuser if you have some maybe personality issues at home. The spray works good. Like I said, if you're having issues with certain things like the scratching or urinating where you're not supposed to. So we like to start with that and see if we can resolve the issue. The nail caps.
Okay, I'm going to spell that. It's F as in Frank, E-L-I-W-A-Y, feel away. And if you use a squirt bottle, he won't associate the squirt with you, but will associate it with his actions, because they're in the chat, they're talking about squirting also. And feel away for cats, the official site, so you can hear more, you know, read about that at the website, Feel Away for Cats.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, and it's Feel Away, F as in Frank, E-L-I-W-A-Y.com. And definitely spray those areas with that stuff. But you can spray the cat with water, too. And I'm telling you, from firsthand experience, cats get very pissed off when they're sprayed with water. They do not like it, and they definitely, from what I've seen, as what they're saying in the chat, it does associate their actions with getting sprayed. They associate the action with spraying, you know, getting sprayed and getting punished. So
after two or three times of doing that, all you have to do is pick up the bottle, and they'll look at
it, and they won't
the
even do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I've seen patches, like if I pick up a bottle when she's doing something bad, her eyes will actually squint like she hates me. You know? She squints her eyes like she's preparing to get squirted, but like she's really very angry that I'm even picking up the bottle. So, yeah, they have their little minds of their own, and they really like to do bad things. They're very mischievous. That's for sure. So the declawing you would definitely not even consider. And Joanne says in the chat room that declawing cats is illegal in Europe.
Yes, it is. And
wow.
There's a couple counties in California where it is illegal.
I'd never declaw my cat, but I was just because it's so cruel. But I was wondering about those little caps you glue on. I've heard they work and I've heard they don't work. So I was wondering if you have any experience with them.
The majority of times they do work. You do
okay.
have to replace them about every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
One of my cats pulled them all off one by one, so that is one of the issues. Most kitties will just leave them on, and they do. Mm-hmm. They'll still go through the action. They'll do all their stretching and their scratching, but you won't have any damage.
Okay, I might give those a try too.
But the double-sided sticky tape, that must really freak them out too. If you're putting that on specific items or corners of furniture or something, I wonder if they get really mad about that.
They don't want anything touching their feet. So when they put their foot up and it sticks, that actually also tinfoil. They don't like the feeling of that. So those are a couple of things that will distract them because it's not, all of a sudden that area is not attractive anymore.
Okay. Yeah, the double-sided tape didn't bother Murphy. I put it on my stereo speakers and it didn't distract him at all. But I'll give the caps a try, and I'll give that spray that Fela
Fela away.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll give that stuff a try. So thank you very much.
Lisa put the website in the chat room there, so anybody can go to the website and look at that. And she says trim the nails on a regular basis. If you start when the cats are young, they'll get used to it. So
go ahead. Yeah, Murphy's. As you say, I've trimmed his nails before. He's not particularly gotten used to it. And the last time I did it, he peed on me to get away. So
I'm sorry.
he doesn't. I haven't done it since.
Well,
I probably should do it more often so he gets used
very
to it.
I know this sounds funny. Try to make it a good experience. Maybe have some treats or something he likes. You know, do a couple nails at a time. Give him some treats. Give him a break. It takes time, but kind of working back into it.
Okay.
It's something. It's anxious for them. You're touching their feet. You're pulling their feet. They're like, goodness, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
a little bit of a process, but we can train them that it's okay.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Good night.
Good night, Josh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lisa also wants the audience to know that All About Amore Cat Hospital also does cat grooming. They do the lion cut. We lost Josh. Okay, Josh, I saw something on the keyboard that made it look like we were not on the air. Can everybody hear okay? Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
This is Flash.
Yeah, we kind of got dropped for a second there.
Hello?
Yeah, Lisa had mentioned in the chat that she wants people to know that the All About Amore Cat Hospital does cat grooming, lion cut, et cetera, nail trimming, whatever needs to be done on your cat, the cat grooming. So tell us, Dr. Mango, what is the most challenging thing about cat grooming? Would you call it the nail trimming, or is there anything else that would be particularly challenging that the cats don't?
The nail trimming with some of these kitties because they don't want their feet touched. Second would probably be how we phrase a sanitary clip. Some of the long-haired kitties, they have trouble grooming at their backside, so we can shave them and make it easier for them to clean. And as you can imagine,
they
get a little nervous with the clippers back in that area.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we've had some issues with our dogs in regards to grooming. So, you know, and dogs are supposed to be so much easier than cats. And Leon, my partner, he does the bath for the cat. So he has a system with her. And, you know, I'm at the point where if it isn't broke, it doesn't need to be fixed. And if he can do it and she's not, you know, flipping out over it, then obviously he has a system that works with her. I'm going to just let him continue to do that, you know. But
if it works, definitely.
Yeah, right. And we're getting towards the end of the show, so we've got probably about 5 minutes left. And I just, are there any closing comments? Dr. Mango, do you have any ideas on where you're going to be in the next 5 years? And any other special projects that you're going to take on in regards to animals?
Unfortunately, I lost you for a little bit there. But closing comments, I think if you're in the area, come over to the plantation community event. Also to our grand opening, you know, stop in, say hi to Bagheera. He loves company. You know, if you have any questions, you know, any concerns with your kitties, give us a call. You know, hopefully we can help you or at least steer you in a direction that can offer you some assistance.
There was one last question from Joanne. She said she went to a vet around the corner recently and they wouldn't let her hold her cat, stating liability issues. Why would they tell her something like that? And does that have something to do with insurance, or why would she not be allowed to?
It is a liability issue. With our insurance, we do get newsletters every quarter, and inevitably, an owner is holding a cat. The cat bites the owner, and then the owner sues the veterinarian. Our staff is covered for workers' comp, any of those issues. So, unfortunately, the staff does have to hold the animal. We want the owner to be there so the kitty can see mom or dad so they're comfortable.
Right.
But if a cat is so scared, they don't know the difference between me or you, and they're going to bite whatever hand is right there. And so many times it's the owner's.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, you know, turning around and suing for that, that's just a bit crazy. But but I want to thank both of you for being on the show. Flash, thanks so much for your input. I appreciate it. And Dr. Mango, I want to just give the address. The All About Amore Cat Hospital is at 6178 Gunn Highway, Tampa, Florida, 33625. And you can find them on the web, allaboutamorecathospital.com. Phone number 813-280-2928. There's also a Facebook page. The Facebook page you can find at All About Amore Cat Hospital, so make sure you like that page. And my friend Lisa Polo, who's on Facebook, is the friendly assistant at the front desk, and she will steer you whatever information when you call. She'll She'll be there to partake of the information and help you out. And she will give you more information about this event on September 28th called The Plantation for the local businesses there in that area of Tampa. So I'm hoping I can attend that. That sounds like a great time. But thank you so much for being on the show, and we will be back next week, same time, same place, with a brand new show. I hope you all enjoyed the fact that we took a reprieve from all the war talk. And
Anita?
Really...
Anita?
Yes.
Can you tell people how to find me?
Oh, yes, Flash Silver Moon. It can be found online at flashsilvermoon.com. She's up in Gainesville. She has an extensive website with all kinds of information, animal healer and communicator. So make sure you find Flash there. She's also on Facebook. And I just want to thank everybody for being on the show, and we'll see you next week. Have a good night and a good week. And I'm going to close with a song by The Cure, Love Cats. Good night.
Thank you.
For a while, for the SC, it's a perfect dream.